Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Preston McElyea, and I'm thankful, as always, to have this opportunity on every Friday morning to be your host on this wonderful program. Today I'm recording at the GospelRadioNetwork.org studio in the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. It's a wonderful blessing to have to be able to communicate the gospel and to spread the gospel, not just here in our community in Mount Vernon, but to be able to reach the entirety of the world. You know, many times there are those who will look at the internet and look at the World Wide Web, and sometimes we can be a little bit apprehensive of it, and, well, understandably so, because there are many evils, and Satan will use the technology to his advantage. But at the same time, the internet can be used for a lot of good, and the GospelRadioNetwork.org is just one great example of how we can use the internet as another means of fulfilling the Great Commission. And so I always look forward to the opportunity to record these programs and to be able to share God's Word with you. Now, today's program will be a little bit different than we've been doing for the past several weeks now on our Friday mornings. I've really enjoyed the opportunity and the blessing to have had several of my good friends and brothers in Christ to record the program with me, but this morning I am by myself in the studio. And so we won't have a special guest this week, but Lord willing, we will get back to having some other people recording the program with us soon, and we'll probably loop back around to some of those who we've already had record, so you might recognize their voices when that time comes. But as I said, this morning will just be me, and so the way we'll go through might be a little bit different. It'll be a little less of the conversation or discussion between me and another individual, but hopefully we can keep that nice, relaxed format and try to, you know, keep it more like a conversation, perhaps just between myself and you as a listener. And so I always enjoy listening to something of that style, you know, in my free time, perhaps a little more than I do a strict lecture. And so hopefully we can continue to emulate that process that we have been doing. But what will not change is the fact that we're going to continue our study of 1 Thessalonians. And so we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians for some time now, and of course we're going to pick up this morning in chapter 3, starting in verse 6. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, what we are going to find is Paul's relief for the Thessalonians' faith. Now, before we get into the text for today, I want to try and get our minds wrapped around the idea that we're going to find presented for us there. That fact is that the good news is relieving. You know, when we receive good news in our lives, whatever it may be, a lot of stress and anxiety, a lot of worry seems to subside, because finally whatever it is that we've been concerned about, or whatever it is perhaps that's been on our mind for a while, we receive word that everything is okay, that everything is good, that what perhaps we were imagining as being our worst fear, or perhaps a nightmare to be realized, well, when we get that good news, we no longer have to have that fear. We no longer have to worry or be afraid of what the outcome might be. I remember whenever I was quite a bit younger than I am now, I used to struggle really badly with migraine headaches. It's something that kind of runs in my family and seems to skip generations, but I won't go into all of that and all of my medical history and family details, but the point I'm getting at is that there was a time when I really struggled with these headaches, and it was something where I would get these severe headaches at times almost every day of the week. It wasn't uncommon that I'd have to go home from school or things like that, because I was getting these headaches so often, and they would just hit at different times and never knew when it would hit. We could never figure out what was triggering these headaches, but obviously my doctor was getting a little bit concerned about my situation. And so my pediatrician, she ordered an MRI to be done. And of course, you know, I'm so young, I don't realize everything that's going on. I don't realize what potentially could be happening and the reason for going through this whole process. But because of the frequency and the severity, well, there was a concern perhaps that there might have been something else going on. That maybe this was a little bit more than a migraine headache. Well, thankfully, after the MRI, everything came back clear, and it was, you know, obvious at that point that there were no tumors or anything like that that was causing me to have these headaches. But we think about the lesson and the idea that we're looking at of that good news. That, you know, I can't really imagine what it is my parents must have been thinking or the fears they may have had, but you think about the relief that there was whenever it came back that, you know, this is that migraine headache that while it's still not fun to think about, the alternative would have been much worse. But you think about as well, you know, the relief we have whenever we've been worried about a grade at school and we get a report card back or we get the test back and everything is good to go. You think about as well, perhaps in your life, maybe you've had blood work done or you've had other labs drawn and taken dealing with different medical things in your personal life. And when you get those good results back, well, there is great relief. Well, the point we understand is that we all appreciate receiving that good news. We like to be able to breathe that sigh of relief whenever the good news comes back to us. And that's what we see happening in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Because as we have noticed from our previous studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, that Paul has been greatly concerned about the well-being of those in Thessalonica. Paul has been, in a sense, consumed by his worry to make sure that his brethren are doing okay because he's not able to be there with them at this time. Paul tried and tried and he tried and he tried again to return to them to check in on them, but something continually got in the way. Well, we talked about a few weeks back as we were looking at the end of chapter 2, how it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, that we understand that what was causing Paul to be unable to make it back was Satan himself. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, therefore, we wanted to come to you, talking about himself, Silvanus, and Timothy, but Paul said, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. His desire was to be there with them so he could really see the progress with his own eyes and help them continue to grow, but Satan kept getting in the way. And so finally, Paul was resigned to the fact that now was not the time to go back to be with the Thessalonians. And so he would send Timothy back to the brethren. That's what we find and what we studied in our last program, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5, that Paul sends Timothy back to the Thessalonians. And now what we have in our section today is Timothy's return to Paul. And when Timothy comes back to Paul, he comes bearing good news, and it's because of that good news he received from Timothy that Paul could find some relief. So now having an idea of what this section is really dealing with, what it's about, let's go in and break it down a little bit further. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, let's consider Timothy's report. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Well, as this verse begins, we find that Timothy has returned to Paul. Very first portion of the verse says, but now Timothy has come to us from you. Well, we consider what reason it is that Timothy had been to see these brethren. If we go back up previously in this chapter to chapter 3 and verse 2, we find where it is that Timothy had previously been sent to establish and to encourage the Thessalonians concerning their faith. The reason that Paul sent Timothy to them was certainly, yes, because he had a concern for their physical well-being. He had grown and established relationships with these brethren in the short time that he was there. Again, you can look in the background, Acts chapter 17, and we find where it was that Paul was only with the brethren for roughly 3 weeks. He had been in the synagogue three different times, and so that's where we get that marker of 3 weeks there. But whenever we look at it, we understand that Paul's concern, yes, certainly there was a physical concern he had, but more importantly, Paul's concern was a spiritual concern. And so that is the primary purpose that he would send Timothy back to them, because Timothy was going to check on their spiritual well-being. And so having fulfilled his mission, well, Timothy is now back with Paul and Silvanus. And as we talked about in our very first study together here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, when we considered the background, that most likely this is Timothy coming back to Paul in Corinth. And so we can see that, Acts chapter 18 and verse 5, for some more information there, and we see that they have made that reunion in Corinth. And that's my understanding as far as where this book, where this letter was being written from. But the point is, Timothy has come back to Paul. And in returning to Paul, what we find from the middle of 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6 is that Timothy brought good news. Paul said that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love. Well, having been back to spend time with the brethren and to see how they were doing spiritually, well, he was able to report good news about how they were doing spiritually. The brethren in Thessalonica were faring very well. And so Timothy brings back that news and that good report of the Thessalonians' great faith and of their sacrificial love. Well, both of these had already been present as Paul was with the brethren from the very beginning. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, where Paul reports what it is that he had seen among the brethren as he was there with them. And so Paul talked about their work of faith and the labor of love that had already been present before Paul was driven out from them. But that work of love, or rather that work of faith and labor of love, were still present. They hadn't gone away. They had not disappeared. And so Timothy brings back good news of their faith and good news of their love. But how was it, you know, we might ask the question, well, how could those things be seen? Well, their faith was evident through the great works and the love that they were showing. You see, despite all of the hardship that they had been facing, the Thessalonians had not lost their great trust or their great belief in God and the gospel of Christ Jesus. Nor did the Thessalonians let their difficulties prevent them from showing the love of Christ unto others. Timothy, when he came back, you know, he reports that good news of the Thessalonians. Think about how difficult this time period would have been if you were a new convert, if you were a young Christian in Thessalonica. Certainly, yes, they had the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we talked about that a little bit already, and we'll talk about it more as we continue to study through this great letter and this great book together. But really and truly, as we look at it, they had only known the gospel for some 3 weeks before Paul had been driven away from them. And as we talked about in our background, we're only, you know, just a matter of weeks, maybe a few months from the time Paul had left them to when he's now sending this letter back to them. And so it would have been very easy and a real temptation for these brethren to have strayed away from the truth, to decide, you know, with all the persecution going on, this whole being a Christian thing is not for me. But that's not what the brethren in Thessalonica did. They continued to persevere. They continued in their faithfulness, and they continued to show the love of God and the love of Christ Jesus to others. What a great lesson that is, and a great example it is for us today. And that no matter what difficulty we may be going through in this life, we need to push through. If we can follow the example of the Thessalonians, and we can remain faithful. that no matter the hardship, no matter the persecution that we might be facing, well, we can continue to display great faith and to display great love. But at the same time, you know, as we look at the situation for the Thessalonians, well, they were also concerned about their brethren as well. Not just concerned about those in Thessalonica, but we find as well that they continue to display great concern for Paul. Because as Timothy continued his report at the end, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, Timothy talks about how the Thessalonians had the desire even to see Paul and to, you know, make sure everything was okay with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the end of verse 6 says, "And that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you." The Thessalonians had not forgotten who Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were. They had good remembrance. And not just that they had it, but Paul, or rather Timothy, says that they always have good remembrance of us. So why then did Paul see it necessary to reiterate to them multiple times throughout this letter who he was, who Silvanus and Timothy were, and what it was they did among them? We have to remember the context we're dealing with overall in the first century, even especially as it relates to Paul and the work that he did as an apostle. You know, perhaps the case is that Paul was concerned that some within the congregation in Thessalonica had started to question his authority or his being an apostle of Christ Jesus. You know, we can look in the book of Galatians or the book of 2 Corinthians, and we see where that was one of the main tenets of those books, is that Paul had to assert his authority, or rather he had to remind the brethren who he was, that there were those going around that were challenging Paul's authority, that they were trying to convince the brethren that Paul is not really an apostle of Christ Jesus. And so Paul needed to make sure that that was remembered by the brethren. But at the same time, in this book, we see what's been going on since chapter 1, and to a certain extent, we can find where Paul is trying to fill in the gaps of things that had happened in between his time being with them and to now, in the present, as he was writing the letter. And so Paul needed to make sure the brethren remembered who he was, but also who Silvanus and Timothy were. And thankfully, the brethren had good remembrance of them, that they hadn't forgot their teachers. But whatever the reason may have been at that time, Timothy went back. The Thessalonians, again, had not failed to remember the type of men that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were, nor had they forgotten what it was that they had been taught by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And alongside that great remembrance, we find that the Thessalonians had the same great longing for Paul as Paul did for them. Timothy said that they were greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Well, we remember Paul's great desire. Go back up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18, and you see where Paul's desire was to see them face to face, that he wanted to be there with them in person, to be with them and to know that they were doing well. But that feeling was shared by the Thessalonians, because the Thessalonians wanted to be with Paul in person. They wanted to make sure that Paul was doing well, that they could be there with him to check in on him. When we think about what this tells us concerning their relationship, it's clear based on this great desire and longing that we have seen from Paul, and how that desire and longing is shared by the brethren in Thessalonica, that the relationship, that the love that they shared for one another was not superficial. That this was not something on the surface that was going on, but there was something more than that. That this was a deeply rooted love, a deeply rooted concern for each other. But you wonder why that is. It's because of everything they had been through together. It's because of the strong connection they had by the blood of Christ Jesus. Oh, there's a great lesson for us in this. You know, we think about our brethren. We think about how deeply we long to be with our brethren. How much love and care and concern do we have when we see that a brother or sister hasn't been here in a little while, when we haven't been in contact with our brethren for some time, is something missing? Do we miss that connection that we should have with each other through the blood of Christ Jesus? See, we need to learn to love the brethren just as Paul loved the brethren. We need to learn to have the same care and desire and longing to make sure that one another are okay, as the Thessalonians did for Paul, even as Paul did for the Thessalonians. See, we can learn from that great relationship. This type of love, this type of care and concern is what we should be striving for within the body of Christ Jesus today. That we need to be establishing these relationships, not just with those who are already members of the Lord's church, but that we need to make these relationships clear and evident to the world. That even as we study with those who we're trying to bring to a knowledge of the truth, that we're trying to help obey the gospel of Christ, that we need to be working on establishing these relationships with those individuals as well, so that they can see what it's going to be like to be a part of the body of Christ Jesus. That we can hopefully help encourage them through the love, care, and concern that we have shown them, so that they can continue that pattern in obeying the gospel of truth. You see, Paul received that good news from Timothy about the brethren in Thessalonica. He saw the deep care and concern that the brethren had for he himself. And so, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7, we find that Paul was brought great comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." As that verse starts, you know, it says by inspiration, "Therefore, brethren." The idea that Paul is saying is because of this. Well, we need to look back in the previous verse to understand what the "therefore" is referring to. And it's talking about the good news that Paul received from Timothy. It's because of that good news that Paul then says, "Brethren." Well, there's a significance behind Paul calling them brethren here. We need to consider what it is pointing to, and certainly there are different options there, but as we look at the context, as we consider all that's happened and the relationship that was shared, well, we see first and foremost that there is a reminder in the connection through Christ Jesus, that they are all a part of the same family of God because they all have been washed in the same blood of our Savior. But also in calling them brethren, there's a reminder in all that they had been through, both together and apart. And so, in the process of this, because of this connection, because of the great care and love and concern and the good news that was received from Timothy when he came back to Paul, well, relief was found. That's the end of verse 7. "In all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." Despite all that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy had been through, they could find relief. He says, "in all our affliction and distress." That's the idea of all the tribulation they had endured. That's what affliction is referring to. He's talking about all of the pressures that are associated with their difficulties. That is the idea of distress. That it's not just the external circumstances going on, but also the internal pressure, the internal weight of those cares and worries and anxieties. Well, Paul says that he, Silvanus, and Timothy could finally be comforted concerning their brethren. You know, that's something for us to think about for a brief moment. That if I'm understanding what Paul was saying correctly as it related to the brethren, that he, Silvanus, and Timothy were concerned and had hardship and difficulty, not just physically. That the problems they endured were not just from the hands of the envious mob or anything like that, but there also was a mental aspect to it. That's the idea, again, in that distress. It's the weight, it's the pressure of all of these things coming down on them because of the tribulation, because of the affliction and the hardship that they were enduring. But let's stop and think for a moment about what that affliction and distress might have been. what may have been causing these problems for Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy during this time. Well, the one that was shared between all of them was the events that took place in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, verses 5 and following, that envious mob of the Jews, how they got the people gathered together and ultimately drove them out of town. And then when they would go on to Berea, they would drive them out again. And so we can see the shared difficulty, the shared persecution and hardship endured in Thessalonica. But then we can think specifically about Timothy and Silvanus. Well, there were difficulties that they endured, and certainly difficulties associated with being left behind in Macedonia as Paul would go on to Athens alone. Again, you can look in Acts chapter 17 and see where these things take place. But for Paul, there was also a constant worry concerning the Thessalonians' faith. There was a constant worry and concern about what was being said or what was being done in Thessalonica to try and challenge his authority. There was a constant worry and concern for the well-being of his fellow laborers. And in that concern of their well-being, there's the physical nature of it, because Paul's last remembrance of the things in Thessalonica was an angry mob. Paul knew the dangers associated with those who would try and persecute the church, and at times that would even lead to a loss in life, that there would be martyrdom that would take place. But Paul's concern also, as we have seen even from this section and from our study last week, Paul's primary concern was their spiritual well-being. And so we understand that there was great affliction and distress that was being endured by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy at that time. But Paul said, despite all of that, despite all of the worry and concern that they had, he said, we were comforted concerning you. But it's not just the fact that they were comforted because they were doing well physically. Again, we need to understand the spiritual nature to Paul's concern. Because if we look in that verse, if we look in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7, we can't forget the end. Because Paul said the reason it is that they were comforted was because of their faith. The verse says, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Consider how during difficult and uncertain times, the faith of others can serve as a source of comfort. You think about that brother or sister who has been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. You know, we can just use the example of cancer. That we can think about those perhaps who have, the doctors maybe have not given much hope, yet that brother or sister faces that disease with great hope. That they have certainty, that they have confidence and assurance in the blood of Christ Jesus. And while they may be dealing with great pain physically, spiritually that brother or sister continues to thrive. They continue to do well. They continue to read their Bible. They continue to maintain a good prayer life. And through all of that, think about how encouraging it is to the congregation, how encouraging it is to us individually to know that despite the difficulties that that brother or sister is facing physically, how well they are doing spiritually. Many times, if we're honest, it's in those moments that we reflect on our own spiritual well-being, and perhaps we see that we're not as healthy spiritually as maybe we thought that we were. But there's great relief. There's great comfort in knowing that although there is some uncertainty there, oh, the joy we have in Christ Jesus, the comfort that can come in knowing that a brother or sister is doing well spiritually. And that's the type of comfort and relief that Paul received concerning his brethren in Thessalonica. If we look in verse 8, we find that in a sense, the Thessalonians' faithfulness was Paul's life support. Verse 8 says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And so it was, having received the good news concerning the Thessalonians, that Paul Silvanus and Timothy were able to live. It's because of the steadfast faith of the brethren in Thessalonica that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy could, yes, find comfort and relief. But Paul just heightens the importance of their faithfulness in verse 8. Because as he says, for now we live. This is in the present, certainly, as Paul was writing and talking about the now. But Paul goes on to say that they could keep on living with the good news they had received. For now we live. And the idea in this is not saying that Paul was going to die had he received bad news. That's not what Paul is getting at here. But when we look at it, the idea seems to be that Paul could go on living free from worry or anxiety concerning his brethren in Thessalonica. Well, what cause for anxiety did Paul have concerning the brethren prior to Timothy's report? Well, let's remember some of the verses that we have already considered together. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. There was a worry that Paul had in not knowing how the brethren there were doing. That's why he would send Timothy to them in the first place. There was the worry and the anxiety that he had that the Thessalonians might have fallen from the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about how it was that for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, Paul said, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Paul was worried, Paul was anxious that his brethren might have been tempted by Satan, that his brethren in Thessalonica might have fallen away from the truth, and so he was truly worried about them spiritually. But also there was the worry based on the report we find in verse 6 that maybe the brethren had forgotten who Paul was. But thankfully he received good news that they always had a good remembrance of them. But again, Paul says that now we live. Well, think about how it is that an abundance of worry, an abundance of anxieties, an abundance of cares and concerns, how all of these things combined together can truly affect the quality of our life. That we're not able to enjoy things as easily. That no matter what we're doing, there's always that constant fear, that constant concern in the back of our mind that we can't really focus on what we want to focus on, because no matter what we do, we're always thinking about this other situation. But Paul says, no longer do I have to do that. No longer does the quality of my living have to be affected by my worry and care and concern for you, because I have received good news of your faith and of your love. Paul says, I have received that good news that you remember who I am, that you remember what it is that I have taught you as I was there with you. And so now, Paul says, because of what we have received, for now we live. But that living with that better quality of life, to be able to live without that worry and care and concern and anxiety. Well, Paul says that was contingent. That would only continue to be the case so long as the brethren in Thessalonica continued to be faithful. Notice the end of 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. So long as the Thessalonians were standing firm, as they were remaining faithful in and to Christ Jesus, Paul had no cause for worry or concern. It was contingent upon their not being moved in their convictions. And that, again, is the purpose that he sent Timothy to them in the first place. Go back up, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, looking in verses 2 and 3. Paul says, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you for the purpose, Paul says, concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know we are appointed to this. You look in verse 3 at that idea that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. Well, as we discussed at that time, the idea is that nobody is moved, that you're not swayed from what it is you have believed, accepted, and obeyed. And so Paul said, as long as you continue in what you believe, as long as you continue in what you have obeyed, as long as you continue in Christ Jesus, there would be no cause for concern. There would be no cause for worry. Paul's relief came from the spiritual well-being of his brethren. Those who he said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 20, were his glory and joy. It was because of their continued growth, their continued labor for the Lord, that Paul could find great reason to rejoice, that he could find comfort in their faithfulness. Before we wrap things up for our program today, I want to conclude by thinking about some more points of application that we might be able to make. And the first question that I want you to consider today: in what ways does your faithfulness affect others? You see, clearly based on this section of Scripture, our faithfulness has a bearing, or at least it should have a bearing, on the way that our brethren are living their lives. We should always have a concern for each other, and we'll deal with that a little more as we continue in our discussion now. But how is it that your faithfulness affects others? You see, our faithfulness can be a source of worry and concern if we're not careful. Our faithfulness can cause others to lose trust in us. Our faithfulness, or our lack thereof, can cause others to stumble. Our faithfulness, if we're not careful, can cause others to lose their faith. You see, if we're not living as we ought to, we very well could be leading others astray. We very well could be causing our brothers or sisters in Christ to lose sleep at night over us. Our faithfulness has a true concern and a true effect on the family of God, whether we realize it or whether we like to admit it. That's what one of the lessons we find in this section, that the way we live for Christ Jesus has a real effect and bearing on those around us. I mean, if we stop and think for a moment and truly are honest with ourselves, does the fall of our sports heroes, or the fall of celebrities, or the fall of politicians, whatever it may be, do those scandals we see from time to time in the media, do those things affect us more than when a brother or sister in the congregation falls from the truth? Consider with me, if you would, the following words from Brother Earl Edwards. He penned these things in his Truth for Today commentary on 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He says, "Are we like Paul? Do we get our greatest joy from seeing brethren remain faithful and grow spiritually? When are we the most encouraged? Is it when the church makes forward strides, or when our favorite sporting team wins?" Those are great questions for us to consider, because again, it just emphasizes that point that the faithfulness of others, our own faithfulness even, ought to have an effect on those around us. Think about some more applications here. You see, we have a right to worry about each other because we're brethren. Paul says that himself in this, and you look back in verse 7, in emphasizing the relationship, the connection that is there in calling them brethren. Well, because we have the relationship and the connection through Christ Jesus, then we have a right to worry and be concerned about each other's spiritual well-being. No, we cannot be saved for anyone other than ourselves. But as a family, we greatly desire that each one of us are doing as we should. And so as we see our brethren living faithfully, our worry is sure to be alleviated. But when we see our brethren living unfaithfully, that worry and anxiety, it at times can be consuming. As it relates to teachers and preachers, you see, there's time invested in teaching the gospel. And there ought to be concern for the well-being of the souls of all whom we would teach. When we see good fruits of repentance, and when we see continued desire to live right before God, those worries ought to subside. But those who we have taught the gospel who are no longer living the truth, who are no longer living faithfully to God, there's heartache there. There's worry and there's concern if things don't get fixed before Christ Jesus returns or before that individual passes away. Well, as it relates to elders, of anyone who we have discussed thus far, whether it is, just those of us in the congregation, whether it is the preacher or the teacher, when it comes to elders, you see, elders bear the most responsibility for our souls next to ourselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 talks about how the elders are overseers. How it is that Hebrews 13 and verse 17, they are looking out for our souls. Elders are going to have to give an account for us. No, they can't be saved for us. No, they can't do anything for us so that our sins can be forgiven. But elders have a responsibility to look out for us and to help teach us, to help admonish us, to help encourage us to remain faithful. And so when it comes to the elders, when we fail to live like we should, think about the great worry and anxiety that we are giving to our overseers. If we will learn to live as we should, as faithful Christians, as children of God, as soldiers of the cross of Christ Jesus, think about how much easier the work of our overseers would be. Well, as is evidenced by the faithfulness of the Thessalonians, faithful living can result in easier, carefree, stress-free living. After worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying some more about the Thessalonians, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy could finally be relieved upon the good news of the Thessalonians' faith. So long as the Thessalonians would go on to live right before God, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy could go on no longer having to worry about their spiritual well-being. And as a result, what we will find, Lord willing, in our program next week, we will see that Paul goes on to pray to God, to pray to God that he would continue to establish the Thessalonians' hearts in holiness. And that's what, again, Lord willing, we will see next week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Well, I thank you for joining us on our program this morning, on Mornings for the Master, here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I'm always thankful for the opportunity to host this program and to open up God's Word with you, and I'm really enjoying this study of 1 Thessalonians. You see, we recently have gone through the book of 1 Thessalonians in our evening Bible class, Sunday evening Bible class in Mount Vernon. And we finished that just a few weeks back from the time that I'm recording this program now. But it's been a real benefit and joy for me to go back through this material with you to refresh myself on the book, to help solidify it in my mind, but at the same time to go back through and find some of the things that I missed as I went through before. That's the joy of studying God's Word, is that there's always something there that we haven't seen before, something perhaps that we haven't noticed, maybe something that we've forgotten about. And that's one of the joys and the pleasures of studying God's Word and working to apply it to our lives so that we can come to be better students, to be better children of God. Next week, hopefully, perhaps we will have another special guest with us, and we can go back to the normal format, perhaps as you had become accustomed, And if you haven't been listening to our program, if you've missed any of our previous studies of 1 Thessalonians, thankfully our brother David Suthoff, the director for the GospelRadioNetwork.org, he does a great job of keeping the on-demand section up to date, and you can go back in the on-demand section here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org and go to Mornings for the Master and scroll through those programs. Of course, you know, we have a different host each morning, but every Friday morning for the past several weeks now, we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and so feel free to go back and catch any of those lessons you might have missed so that you can catch up to where we are for our study, Lord willing, next week. But also, be free and feel free to share word about our program to others, to let your friends, your family, your neighbors, the person standing in front of you, the person standing behind you at the grocery store, and tell them about Mornings for the Master. Tell them about the GospelRadioNetwork.org. You never know what good might be accomplished or who might be reached, what doors of opportunity might be opened when somebody hears God's word in the comfort and in the privacy of their own home. Well, again, I thank you so much for joining us this morning and for sticking with us through the program today. And I hope that you will continue to listen to the many good programs and the great gospel singing that is recorded and that is played back throughout the day here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. And I pray that your day goes well, and I pray that you continue to have a good heart and have a great zeal and a desire to learn more and to know more and to live better for our God. Have a great day and come back and join us next Friday at 9 a.m. as we'll pick up our study here on Mornings for the Master on the GospelRadioNetwork.org.